Hi, everyone. I'm Renny, and today I will be interviewing founders so they can teach us how to not go broke trying to become an entrepreneur. I'm very excited to say that this podcast is brought to you in partnership with Lemonade Finance. If you don't know already, Lemonade is the platform I have been partnering with for over a year now, and they are doing the damn thing when it comes to sending money internationally. Lemonade is a mobile app that allows users in Canada and the UK to send money to Ghana, Nigeria, Ivory Coast, Senegal, Benin, Cameroon, Tanzania, Rwanda, and Kenya at zero fee. Yes, I said zero fee, and not only are there no fees, but the transfers are sent in minutes. People I've sent money to in Nigeria have received funds in just 1 or 2 minutes. It's really quick. You can use my referral code XLRENNY to sign up, and if you're in Canada, you'll get 10% cash back when you make a single transfer of 100 Canadian dollars or more to supported African countries. If you're in the UK, you'll get 10% cash back capped at £50 when you make a single transfer of £100 or more to supported African countries. And if you're not in Canada or the UK, don't worry, I didn't forget you. They are growing rapidly and will likely be in your country soon. Again, if you want to sign up, you can use my code or you can use the link in the show notes. Now, let's get back to this week's episode. Okay, hello, hello. How are you all? I hope you're doing well. I hope you're having a great day. I hope you're having a great week. I hope you're having a great year. I hope August is going well for you, or whenever you're listening to this. Maybe you're listening to this in 2023, January. So whenever you're listening to this, I hope that you are having an amazing day. In case you don't know me, I am your host, Renny, and I am a full-time content creator. I create content about financial literacy and career development, and this is Don't Go Broke Trying. On this podcast, I teach you how to not go broke trying to live your best life. And today we're going to focus on how to not go broke trying to become an entrepreneur, because I know many, many people who listen to me are either entrepreneurs currently or they want to be entrepreneurs in the future. So I'm going to teach you and talk to you all about it. But I'm not actually going to be the one teaching you. I'm going to be interviewing founders and asking them questions. And you'll be asking, okay, Renny, how did you get here? Like, what happened? Yeah. So in June of 2022, I was actually given the opportunity of a lifetime by someone named Zoe. Shout out Zoe. Zoe was following me on Instagram for a while. She liked what I was doing. And then she actually DM'd me saying, hey, do you want to be a media partner at Collision Conference 2022? Now, if you know me, me being me, I Googled Collision Conference immediately. I saw that it was one of the largest tech conferences in the world. I saw that there were over 33,000 people who would be in attendance, with huge people like Lupita Nyong'o, like the CEO of Calendly, all of these people. So I immediately said yes. I was like, yes, please, Zoe, I do want to attend. And then I had to backtrack and be like, wait, can you tell me what a media partner is? Because I literally have no idea. Zoe then explained that I would be granted access to the conference, and then I would get the ability to make requests for interviews with the conference's speaker roster, which was pretty cool. Like, they had some amazing speakers that were speaking throughout the 4-day conference. So I was like, bet, I'm there. I just came back from vacation. I was super tired, but I was like, nah, I am going to be there. So in this episode, you'll be hearing short interviews that I had with founders from across Canada, Nigeria, the US, Sweden. I interviewed a lot of people, and it was great to hear a variety of opinions. And it was interesting to see how everyone answered the question differently. So the question I asked everyone was, can you please give us one piece of advice so that we don't go broke trying to become an entrepreneur? And every single person answered it differently. So if you are a founder or you are a founder-to-be, this episode is for you. And just want to note that there were 33,000 people at this event. So sometimes there's a little bit of background noise, but overall, I think it's pretty good. The message is great. So I hope that you enjoy. I also want to say that there is a video version of this podcast, and I worked with an amazing videographer to create this. His name is Omono. He is amazing, 10 out of 10. So if you want to watch that video, which I suggest you do, just to go onto my YouTube channel, and I'll leave my YouTube channel in the show notes so you can watch it easily. So are you ready to get into it? Let's do it. The first interview that I have is with Istiana Bastari, and she is one of the co-founders of Monday Girl. If you follow me on Instagram, you already know that I am a big fan of Monday Girl's programming, their platform, and their content. And it's just amazing to see what they have built over the last few years. And I learned a lot about them just from this interview. So let's hear from Istiana.
Today, as you know, I'm talking to different founders, and they're going to teach us how to not go broke trying to become a founder. So today I have a very special guest. This is Istiana from Monday Girl, and I am a Monday Girl stan, so I'm excited to interview her. Hi, Istiana.
Hi.
How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for coming on the podcast and talking to my audience. Could you like tell us a little bit about yourself and Monday Girl?
Yeah, so my name is Istiana. I'm the co-founder of Monday Girl. We're an all-in-one networking platform for women. So we connect thousands of women to job opportunities, mentorship, skill building, workshops, just everything that you need to get started in your career.
Yeah. And I always say networking is so important, and it's a game changer. And I know a lot of my followers have raved about your platform. So I think your platform is amazing. So thank you for even launching this. I want to know what prompted you to start Monday Girl.
Yeah, so Rachel, my co-founder, and I, we both moved to Toronto a number of years ago, and they're like, where are all the women? How do you meet cool women in the city? I was like, I remember trying to reach out to people on LinkedIn. No one was getting back to me. I was like, just trying to get my foot in the door. And so she didn't see anyone at her workplace either that like looked like her. It was like so frustrating. So it started off as a brunch and a series of events. And then COVID hit and we had to pivot. And so last year, 2021, we launched our SaaS platform called Monday Girl Social Club. It's a digital platform, so we have members across Canada. I think we have over 1,000 right now, wow, which is really exciting to us. So, yeah.
Nice. And if someone joins Monday Girl, like what happens on the Monday Girl platform?
Yeah, so when you sign up, you log into your member dashboard, and there you can RSVP to events. Every month we have our Tastemaker series. You can actually hear from, you know, senior exec women, ask questions, get direct answers. These women are so busy, so it's like, how else are you going to connect with them? You can book instant coffee chats with mentors from companies like Shopify, Wellsimple, Sephora, lots of other features. We have a book club, member meetups. Yeah.
Nice. I love it. And I know that a lot of founders go broke in the first year of becoming a founder. Have you faced any of that? Like, has it been a struggle financially for the business at all?
I mean, starting a business is always a risk. I think for us, what is really been helpful for us that we've never, luckily we've never had to be in like a position of debt or freaking out of like how are we going to pay for expenses, is just being extremely resourceful. We've like our platform is hacked together with no code tools, and you know, versus like spending thousands of dollars. We'll get to that point one day, but it's just all about being really resourceful and having that like we'll figure it out mindset. I think that is so key when you're starting a business, and you'll save a lot of money that way.
Nice. I didn't even know that. From the way that the platform looks, you would never know that. Like, you guys just did it by yourself. So that's great. So if you could give one piece of advice to founders to make sure that they don't go broke trying to start their business, what would it be?
I would say the same thing. Like, you have to be willing to figure things out, especially in the beginning. Like, YouTube, the internet is your friend. But also, that doesn't mean that you have to do everything at once and be like this expert in everything, because it's just not possible. And like, everyone has their own skill set, so do what you're best at. Like, for me, I am like the creative marketing branding of Monday Girl. I suck at like numbers and sales and finance. That's Rachel. So work with people and find people who balance you know, are in the skill set that you don't like or not as good at, and you can create systems that way. And yeah,
great advice. Thank you so much. And if someone wants to sign up for Monday Girl, how would they do that?
So you can sign up at mondaygirl.ca. You can sign up for a free newsletter or social club, which opens on a quarterly basis. You can join the wait list. Yeah.
Thank you so much for being on the podcast. I appreciate you.
Thank you. Thank you.
So my key takeaway from hearing from Istiana was that it's important to be resourceful and be scrappy. You should do as much as you can by yourself and start where you are so you don't go broke trying to outsource everything to other people. And what I really liked was that their website, Monday Girl's website, is built with no code tools. They did it all themselves, which if you've been on that site, as a person who is just viewing it, I would never have known that they did everything by themselves. So I found that very inspirational. And it just goes to show you can start where you are. You can build a huge platform. They partnered with companies like Microsoft and other companies. So it shows that you should just start where you are and then you can grow as you build. Next, I interviewed Tunde Omotoye. He is the founder of Human Squad, and he recently raised some money to pursue his business full-time, which I thought was pretty cool. He quit his job that he had, and he finally got the courage to quit, and he's now a full-time employee of Human Squad, which I love to see. You know, I'm all about people chasing their dreams, so I'm very happy for him. So let's hear how he did it. So I'm at Collision Conference and I have a very special guest here. He's also a Lemonade partner, which is amazing. We're both Lemonade partners here. And this is Tunde. Tunde, hi, how are you?
Hi, Rennie. Thank you so much for having me here today.
Thank you for being here. So could you tell us a little bit about you and your company?
So my name is Tunde. I'm an immigrant in Canada. Human Squad is a platform that helps immigrants, people looking to immigrate to Canada, immigrate affordably and conveniently. So what we do is really connect people to regulated Canadian immigration consultants. Reason being that outside Canada, there's a lot of immigration fraud, right? So we connect them to immigration consultants, and then there are two stages to that. First is a consultation, and then the other is a retainer, right? Our other product is Schoolyply, which is really helping people get admission to schools in Canada, US, Australia, Germany, and lately we added Switzerland to it. Lastly is a career development product, which really focuses on people who just landed in Canada. So what we do is we help them with resume, cover letter, and also coach them on how to go for interviews. So that's really what Human Squad is about.
Nice. Those are three great pillars, and I think every immigrant needs them, right? What prompted you to start the business?
Honestly, I would say it's from Twitter. So my Twitter blew up because okay.
I think I've definitely seen your Twitter.
Oh yeah, thanks. I share a lot of experience on Twitter on how I navigated the Canadian labor market and all that. And I started to get a lot of requests on, hey, I want to immigrate to Canada, or I just landed in Canada. How do I get a job? So I thought, hey, why don't we create a product around this? So myself and my co-founder, Temilola, started brainstorm, and we launched Human Squad in the heat of pandemic in 2020. So that's what brought about the launch of Human Squad.
Nice. And a lot of founders go broke in like their first year of starting their business. So how has your journey been so far?
Well, I would say for me, because it's really a niche product, we were sort of, we hit revenue immediately we launched. So we're able to sort of not really go broke. Right. So for us, I would say we've just been fortunate to be in sort of the right space, and we've been doing very well.
Nice. Do you have any advice for any founders? So you've been able to avoid going broke. Do you still work full time, or are you doing this business full time?
Well, yes, I've been working full time, but I've just been able to get the courage to sort of be going full time with Human Squad. I recently just resigned, and I'll be starting with Human Squad full time in July. I recently got a pre-seed last month. Yeah, so that also kind of encouraged me to go full-time into Human Squad.
Nice, congrats. All amazing stuff. My final question is, if you could give one piece of advice to others to ensure they do not go broke trying to become an entrepreneur, what would that be?
I would say first is ensure that you've really gotten your product right, and ensuring that your product is serving a particular service that will sort of get you revenue. Right, you don't want to be in validation stage for so long and trying to validate, is this product right or not? And that way you sort of stretch it out so much, you spend money, time, resources, and eventually if it doesn't work out, you lose everything, right? So I think that validation stage, make it very short, right? So that eventually you know right off the bat, is this the right thing or not, right? And then you can take it from there.
Wow, great advice. Thank you so much for being on the podcast. If anyone wanted to be connected to Human Squad and maybe use the services that you offer, how could they find you?
Well, it's so simple. Human Squad is humansquad.com. And we're also on social media, Twitter, Instagram at Human Squad CA. And myself, Tunde Tash. So that's how they can connect.
Perfect. Thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Thank you so much, Rennie. I'm so glad to be here today.
So my key takeaway from Tunde and from that interview was that perfection is truly the enemy of progress. And if you don't want to go broke, you can't just stay in that seeking perfection stage for the rest of your life. And you probably will never build and never actually progress to anything. You need to start, validate and move on to the next thing and keep iterating and iterating and iterating, just as Tunde said. But staying and having a super long validation stage will keep you in a loop, and you probably run out of money because you're trying to make everything perfect. So I thought that was very insightful, and yeah, thank you, Tunde, for sharing that with us. And he's also a Lemonade partner. He is a big proponent, and he promotes Lemonade as much as I do, maybe even more. So it's good to speak to another Lemonade ambassador. Now, this next interview that we have is very insightful. I found it very insightful, and I left encouraged after this. I interviewed Ari Roisman, and his business was a very capital intensive business, so he couldn't really bootstrap. So I thought this was a different take than a lot of the other people. His business was also the first of its kind, so I was very curious to learn how he entered a brand new market without going broke. So you should also check out the YouTube video for this one specifically, because he shows us his product and it's pretty cool. Let's hear from Ari. Hi, Ari.
Hi, Renee.
How are you today?
I'm doing well.
Thank you so much for joining us on the podcast. I'd love to know about your business and what you actually do.
Sure. So we make the one and only camera for the Apple Watch. So the one thing that the Apple Watch is missing, if you want to be able to just go without your phone, you can put your credit card in here. You can even put your driver's license in here. You can, if you got a cellular watch, you can take calls, send messages, directions. The one thing you don't have is a camera. So we built the camera, and I actually teamed up with one of the original engineers from the Apple Watch team to make this thing come alive.
And how did you come up with this idea for this business?
Yeah, so we pioneered push-to-talk video for phones, and I was fortunate to be able to raise a lot of venture capital. So we built that up to tens of millions of users. And then I got really excited when Apple first announced the watch. And it, to me, it was obvious that the watch was going to be a big deal. And so I moved to Silicon Valley and met one of the original engineers on the Apple Watch team. And he saw the tech that we'd built, like really fast video messaging, walkie-talkie. We thought it'd make total sense on the watch, super accessible screen, but the watch didn't have a camera.
Nice. And how long have you been doing this? How long has RiskCam been in existence?
Yeah, it's been a long time coming. I first met Sean, one of my co-founders. I can't believe how long it's been. It's been 7 years ago since we first met. And then, you know, he had that relationship with Apple, and so we were able to get introduced into the right folks within Apple pretty quickly. But when we first embarked on this project, we thought it was going to be maybe a year until we started shipping this product. And I mean, literally took years and years and tens of millions of dollars more than what we ever anticipated. So yeah, you got to be careful about not going broke while you're trying, because I'll tell you one thing, you know, they say that, you know, in startup world, everything takes 2 to 3 times longer than you think it will and costs 2 to 3 times as much as you think it will. So when you add that all together, it's like an order of magnitude is kind of how much we tend to underestimate what it actually takes to get something to market.
So if it took you tens of millions of dollars, as you said, how did you make sure that you didn't go broke during that period of time?
I don't know. God is great. No, I'm blessed. I really don't know what else to say. I mean, people like Matt, come in here. People like Matt, who's my incredible co-founder, you know, it's all about the people, right? So I'm not a marketer, and my engineering skills are limited. So it's really all about finding people like Matt, you know, doing as much as you can on your own, getting the word out there, and then creating a message and a narrative and a vision that's attractive that people are drawn to. And if you can draw in really talented people, and then those people become part of your team, they become part of, it's all about really seeing the hero, you know, within the people that are drawn to you. And then I think my job as CEO is to try to make everyone this understand what their dream is and make them the superhero of their own story, and just try to help actualize their inner superhero and then put that to work, you know? And then obviously the incentives need to be aligned. But it takes a team and a half, and a lot of capital and really supportive investors to do something like this. There's other types of businesses that you can bootstrap, you know, not this one. I mean, this is like, you know, hardware is this, there's no other product like this in the world. And to get it officially certified by Apple and manufacturing in China and a supply chain. And then this is really just a showcase of all the software that's going on under the hood that makes this product come alive. So it's a journey and a half.
You've given us a lot of great tips about how to not go broke as we are a founder. You seem like a great leader as well. So I wanted to know, how did you find these great people? How did you find them?
I'm not such a great leader. I think actually the secret to having potential to be a great leader is recognizing your own weaknesses. And my leadership paradigm is really Moses. Moses was described as being the most humble of the people. So, you know, I try to stay in touch with my weaknesses and sort of look to people that are smarter and more capable than myself. You know, I think a good leader should put together a group of people where he's basically, he or she is like the dumbest and least capable person in the room. You know, so that's more or less what I try to do. You want to see how the product works?
Yeah, that would be great.
You can control RiskCam in a bunch of different ways. So I've got this single button here. So I actually just took a 4K photo. And now I long press and I'm taking a video. So that opens it up. And then when I open up the app, I come straight into the viewfinder and I actually see what I'm recording.
Oh, wow.
So we're recording a 1080p video. I can stop that. If I wanted to, if I was on my skateboard, I could turn on image stabilization, for example. I can swipe over and then I'm in photo mode. I can double tap here and then I got the selfie cam. So we're gonna take a little selfie here. We can send you that pic. And then it even does video calling. I got a gallery over here, so I can flip through stuff that I've captured. Here's that photo that we just captured all the way up top here. And then I can swipe over, and then I've got video calling and video messaging even built in. And like I said, we're the one and only smart band for the Apple Watch. It's officially certified, made for Apple Watch. It works seamlessly with the watch. To me, this is just the obvious future of the personal camera, right? Where else can a camera live? A camera only has value when it's out and it's ready to capture. Where else can the camera live, both self-facing camera and world-facing camera, other than my wrist? It's not going to be on my face, right?
It's genius. So if you could give us one piece of advice to ensure that my listeners don't go broke trying to become
yes.
a founder, what would that one piece of advice be?
Okay. A lot of people, when they have an idea, they think, I can't talk about my idea because I'm afraid somebody's going to steal it, right? Nobody's stealing your idea. The best thing you can do if you have an idea is talk to as many smart people with as much experience that's relevant to that idea as you possibly can. And whatever idea you had initially is going to evolve. And so that idea is only going to become richer and deeper and actually grow up and become something that can stand on its own two feet. And that only happens by being open and talking and getting feedback, critical feedback. So it's all about doing the best you can, getting it on paper into a deck, right? Put together slides, a deck. You know, 10, 20, 30 is a great paradigm by Guy Kawasaki for building that first deck. And just get out there and start talking to people about it and get feedback and, you know, and get ripped apart by smart people. And then you're going to learn and you're going to be able to refine that. And then it can actually have the potential to grow into something that can actually stand the test of time and become a real business.
That was great advice. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
So my key takeaway was that you should share your ideas with knowledgeable people who can help validate your ideas and give you good feedback. And I want to emphasize that he's not saying go share your idea with every single person in the world. Like, make sure you're sharing your idea with people who are smarter than you, people who maybe have been in the industry that you want to get into, that you're trying to start your business in, people who you can consider mentors so they can help guide you. And yeah, but I found that very insightful because I think the common thing to do, especially as Nigerians, you know, I'm a Nigerian, maybe you're a Nigerian listening too, we're sometimes very reserved or superstitious about sharing good things or something that we're working on. But it was cool to see someone else's point of view where they said, no, you should be sharing. You should be telling as many people as possible about what you're doing, and they will help validate it and actually help make you better. Next, I interviewed Sam Badu. Sam was very honest about his struggles that he faced going broke trying to build his company, Flairy. And now that he is on the other side of it, that I find that there was a lot to learn from my conversation with him. So I'm here with Samuel of Flairy. Hi, Samuel.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, Ring.
Thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I appreciate you. So can you tell us a little bit about you and Flairy?
All right, my name is Sam Badu. I was originally born in Ghana, moved to the U.S. about 8 years ago, and currently lead a team at Flairy. Flairy is essentially a platform that helps immigrants ensure that the money they spend on their family back home goes exactly where they intend, starting with healthcare. So with Flairy Health, you're able to purchase healthcare plans and directly pay your healthcare providers to provide the services that your loved ones need without having to transfer money.
Nice. And how did you start this business? And why did you start this business?
Well, when I actually moved to the States, I moved here as an undocumented immigrant, which means that I've been through all of the craziness that comes with not having anybody to support you and also not really being able to figure things out. With time, you realize that a lot of people depend on you and you have to support them even through your own journey as an immigrant. Having figured that out, you know, it made sense to try to build something that solved the same problem for the millions of other people who had that.
And I know that a lot of entrepreneurs who start their businesses go broke in the first year, especially just trying to fund their business. Has that ever happened to you? Any experience with that?
Yo, like you don't even know. So what nobody tells you is having an idea is not enough, right? So your first few months while you're kind of like thinking things through, you're still burning money. When people tell you to leave your job and be a founder, shit, don't listen to them. Right? Because they don't know what your situation is. When I started, I was running another company and I had this idea that I was really great, crazy about, and I wanted to implement it. But it took me a few months. I actually started working on it while at my old job. Right? And then when I decided to make the full leap and leave, I had to give myself a buffer. I essentially put like my home mortgage payments on hold. Like, sold my car. Yeah. Nobody ever tells you that. Like, trying to avoid foreclosure and giving yourself, like, a certain period to be able to burn through your cash and knowing, like, your limit. So, yeah, if we hadn't figured this out and we hadn't raised, probably would be broken. I probably won't be here.
Wow. Okay. Thank you for being so honest and vulnerable. So I want to ask if you could give one piece of advice to founders to make sure they don't go broke trying to become an entrepreneur. What would that advice be?
It'll be do what works for you. Like, don't quit that job if you know you don't have anybody to provide you with money. When people talk about, like, friends and family around, yeah, they're not talking about you. They mean, like, they're people who've got them. Yeah, we don't have that, which means that keep that job, take that extra job, do whatever Uber you're going to do or whatever. Like, don't listen to everybody. You got to do the thing that works for you to ensure that you don't go broke trying.
Yeah. Don't go broke trying to listen to everyone else and trying to be other people, basically. Thank you so much for being on my podcast. If someone wants to learn more about Flairy and maybe use your services, how could they find you?
Well, Flairy is really out there. So www.joinflairy.com. You can find us on all of the socials, especially LinkedIn, right? Connect with me. Let's talk. Yeah, we'd definitely love to help.
Perfect. And I will leave all of that info in the description box below. Thank you so much for being on the podcast.
So my key takeaway from this was that having an idea is not enough. You need to actually execute the idea and know your limits while you're executing it and make sure that you don't compare yourself to others. As he said, anybody can come and tell you, oh, do a friends and family round. But do you have rich friends and family who are willing to loan you $50,000? Most of us don't. So don't try and go broke trying to follow the advice of random people who don't know what you are truly going through or don't have the same situation as you, or and maybe you don't have the same privileges as them. So that was great. Again, I think there's this culture where we tend to compare ourselves to others. We see each other's highlight reels online and we compare ourselves to them. But Sam really taught me that no, you should not be doing that. Make sure that you are focusing on yourself, know your limits, and you won't go broke. So a lot of founders struggle with sleep, especially. I know that I personally do. I've been getting better lately. If you follow my Instagram stories, you know I've been getting better. But since starting my business, sleep is a myth, truly a myth. A lot of founders struggle with this. But the reality is that not sleeping well can actually kill your company. So I spoke with Aaron Bromberg. He is the CEO of Stim Science. And I spoke to him to get insights on how to not go broke trying to hustle, essentially. Like, I know going broke financially is one thing, but also going broke emotionally, mentally, and all those things that come with not sleeping is a whole other thing. And I don't want you to do either of those.
Thank you so much, Aaron, for being here.
Thanks for having me, Rani. It's awesome to be with you.
No problem. My pleasure. I would love if you could introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, sure. I'm the CEO of Stim Science. Stim Science is about better sleep through neuroscience. So most people, when they think of sleep, they think about the sleep environment. How dark is your room or how soft is your mattress? But the reality is sleep is a brain activity. It's a series of electrical patterns in the brain. Our neuroscience team has actually figured out how to hack that electrical pattern. So we've launched a new headband that is the first headband to offer personalized brain stimulation for sleep. It's called Somni, and it's available for pre-order now. And it reads your individual brain patterns as you're falling asleep, and then uses personalized brain stimulation, microvolts of electrical current, to gently stimulate your brain in order to promote your unique sleep pattern.
Wow. So if you know, what prompted the founder to start this company?
Yeah, so the company was founded by three professors at the University of California in Berkeley. One of them is Professor Matthew Walker, who is a very well-known sleep scientist and wrote a bestseller called Why We Sleep. There's also Dr. Knight, who's the former head of neuroscience at UC Berkeley, and Dr. Ivory, who's one of the top five in the world of non-invasive brain stimulation. These three realized they could put their expertise together and actually go a long way towards solving the sleep epidemic. Me personally, my background is in commercializing new technologies and consumer products. And I also am someone who's struggled with sleep for years.
Me too.
So I know a lot of your listeners also probably struggle with sleep, but you know, my mind would race and I wouldn't be able to sleep because I was always thinking about whatever was going on at work or whatever was going on with my family. And it really started to impact my mood and my health. And so I got really passionate about how important it is to sleep well. So now I'm sort of the sleep sheriff in my family, and I'm the one that's always banging the drum for the importance of sleep. And when I learned about what the team was working on at Stim Science, I really became convinced that it's a great way of helping others to improve their sleep and therefore improve their lives.
So you mentioned the sleep epidemic. Can you explain what that actually is?
Yeah, so the more we learn about sleep, the more we understand that it is the foundation of every aspect of mental and physical health. One in three adults suffers from clinical sleep deprivation.
Oh, wow, one in three.
And the problem gets worse as people get older. It also, from what I can tell, gets worse as people get more professional. So if you talk to, you know, even young professionals, they disproportionately struggle with sleep. The health effects of poor sleep are dire. So lack of sleep is linked to a 10x increase in a risk for depression or anxiety. Poor sleep in middle age has been linked to a risk of developing Alzheimer's disease or dementia later in life.
Oh, wow.
And it's even linked to obesity. So lack of sleep can make you fat because when you don't sleep well, you're more likely to reach for the donuts in the morning instead of the oatmeal. So every aspect of personal health is affected by sleep. But the other reality is every aspect of productivity and success is affected by sleep. Sleep is neurologically linked to creativity, to problem solving, to innovation, to trust, to mood, to all these things that are just so important in our lives, our family lives, or our business lives. And so, you know, it really is like the fountain of youth, the magic ingredient to a healthy life.
Well, when we hear about founders, especially, and just any entrepreneur, I think, I feel like sleep is not top of mind for us, or it's hard to even like prioritize sleep because you're so busy trying to run your business.
Yeah.
I know that when I started this business, I have the lack of sleep that I've had since starting. I don't even want to talk about it. And I feel like there's also a culture where we say hustle hard, you can sleep when you're dead and all these things. When you hear those things, what do you think?
You know, you're so right. It's so prevalent, especially in the entrepreneurial space, that, you know, people tend to view the hustle as sort of like the opposite of sleep,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Sleep is getting in the way. The reality is sleep enables your hustle, right? Sleep is a key ingredient. And so I still have to remind myself and my team of that sometimes. I still, you know, as the CEO of a sleep technology company, still sometimes fall into the trap of like, oh, maybe I can just, you know, stay up and crank out this presentation or get a few more emails out or respond to this, you know, RFP or whatever. But it's unsustainable, and it's actually impairs our success. So I make a point of reminding myself and reminding my team that they need to sleep. They need to take time during the day to mentally recharge. And that's the way that teams can perform at their best.
So if you're someone like me who struggles to sleep, how is Stim Science helping us sleep better?
Yeah, so Stim Science has a product solution, and it's certainly something that, you know, if you struggle with sleep, I hope you'll try. You can learn more about it at trysomnee.com, trysomnee.com. But there are a lot of things that you can change that can help with your sleep, even without, you know, investing in Somnee or another product. So some of the most important ingredients to a good night's sleep from my point of view. Number one is to adjust the temperature. So your body actually uses a series of signals to signal to your brain that it's time to go to bed. One of them is temperature. So we evolved to, you know, sleep outside where the temperature drops at night. And our core body temperature actually needs to drop a couple degrees at night. So if you can, you should open a window at night or turn on the AC.
Okay.
And, you know, the other thing you can do is just take a warm bath or a warm shower. That actually kind of tricks your body into cooling itself off. The other thing that's really important, especially for entrepreneurs, is a bedtime routine. Even just 15 minutes, if you take 15 minutes from the time you close the mail app to the time that you actually try to go to sleep, it helps to signal to your brain that it's time to wind down. And so, you know, I've started to myself make a point of putting the phone down and just reading, you know, if possible, reading a boring book for 15 minutes.
That always
but,
helps
you know,
sleep, right?
you can listen to a podcast. I don't think your podcast would put anybody to sleep,
no.
But you can listen to a boring podcast, or you can listen to some music. Anything that just gives you sort of a repetitive like routine to signal to yourself that it's time for sleep.
Okay. And as the podcast is Don't Go Broke Trying, what is your one piece of advice to make sure that founders, entrepreneurs don't go broke trying to hustle?
Yeah, so look, sleep is not the enemy of your hustle. It's the friend of your hustle. So if you want to not go broke, I'd suggest starting by paying off your sleep debt.
Oh, I like that.
So my key takeaway from that was that sleep enables your hustle, so you need to prioritize it. And that was a key thing that I learned. And Aaron is not a founder, but he moved from big tech working at Amazon and being the leadership team at Amazon to working at a startup. So I also want to ask him how he didn't go broke doing that, as he took a significant pay cut in order to move from, you know, working at Amazon, where he's probably getting paid many hundreds of thousands a year, and taking a pay cut to go into a startup company. So let's hear from him about what he has to say about that.
So I know that you are not the founder of the company, but you are the CEO, which is a huge title, and you moved from corporate to a startup. So I want to know, how was that journey moving from corporate to startup? And do you have any tips to make sure that people don't go broke trying to do that same thing?
Yeah, sure. It's a great question. Super important one. So I was for years, you know, on the executive team at Amazon, and I had a really successful run there. And so, you know, number one thing I'd say is that's hugely lucky for me, and I recognize that it's a privilege that I had, you know, the kind of some savings from my time at Amazon that allowed me with a little bit of a financial cushion to leave and go work at a startup. But the other thing I'd say is, you know, when I started thinking about the decision to leave Amazon and go to the startup world, I'd say the most important factor in that decision was kind of not letting my lifestyle in that period kind of map to my Amazon compensation, right? Mm-hmm. So I had a couple of years where, and, you know, this was a family decision. This was not just me, but where, you know, my wife and I kind of talked it out and decided that we were going to manage our lifestyle in a way that would allow us to have a little bit of comfort and a little bit of cushion to, you know, take a pay cut in the interest of working on a mission-driven startup and hopefully, you know, down the road becoming really successful. And so I think that's really important. I think that, you know, I saw friends and colleagues at Amazon that were, you know, kind of letting their lifestyles creep up a little bit along with the stock price during the boom times. And I think, you know, for whatever reason, I was able to avoid that trap, which gave me a little bit of really necessary flexibility when joining a startup. The other thing I'd say is for if any of your listeners are thinking about leaving, you know, the corporate world and going to startups, is do it, man.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, it's obviously there are some financial considerations, but the number one consideration from my point of view is just the opportunity to work on things that deeply matter, to work with people that are 100% committed to, you know, the mission of what we're trying to get done, and to have a huge impact on, in our case, on people's sleep, but on whatever you're trying to accomplish. It's just so rewarding to work on something on your own that, you know, that consideration for me is more important than dollars and cents.
So would you suggest anybody go and make that leap from corporate to startup, or do you have to be a certain type of person to thrive in the startup world?
I think the key is, you know, to self-assess whether you're going to really value the things that startups can bring. And a lot of people do, right? I think a lot of people really value kind of, you know, owning your own destiny and, you know, being highly autonomous and being able to create something from nothing is a huge privilege. There are also a lot of people that don't value those things. And there are things in the corporate world that you can accomplish when you're not a startup, right? I mean, obviously Amazon accomplished a ton of great things. And so, you know, no judgment either way. But if you, you know, have a mission and it's not Amazon's mission or, you know, Johnson & Johnson's mission or whatever, it's your own mission, then for sure, I'd say go do it.
Okay, thank you, Aaron. If someone wants to learn more about STEM science and Somni, how would they learn about you?
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. I love what you guys are doing. If you want to learn more about STEM science and Somni, you can go to our website. It's trysomni.com, trysomnee.com. Thanks again, and I hope you all sleep well.
Yes, and don't go broke trying to hustle, everyone.
So that was very interesting. My key takeaway from that was that if you are passionate about a startup's mission, maybe that passion can lead you to take that leap to move to a startup. I personally know that this is obviously something that not everybody has the opportunity to do. And sometimes the dollars may not make sense before doing it. But I would say if you do see a startup that you're very passionate about and maybe you want to move into, to make sure that you save up your emergency fund before you take that leap and then go from it. Prepare your finances so that you don't go broke trying to move from big corporate or big tech or whatever you would call it to startup. Next, I interviewed David Ojeinka, and he is the founder of the Fresh Start Hub. They provide a lot of free resources for international students and internationally trained talents to help them succeed in Canada. So if you are one of them, you should probably check out their platform, because they are doing the damn thing and really helping people. So let's hear from David on how to not go broke trying to become a founder. Hi, David.
Hi, Rainy. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Thank you so much for being here. I am a big fan of your work. I was on your podcast and it was such an honor to be there. So I am grateful that you decided to come on today.
Thank you.
Can you please tell the people a little bit about what you do as a founder?
My name is David Ojenka and I'm the founder of the Fresh Start Hub, a platform that is focused on helping internationally trained talents navigate their career journey faster. Oh. Through all our resources.
Nice, I love it. See the elevator pitch. I can tell you're a founder. So a lot of my audience are entrepreneurs and soon to be entrepreneurs. And a big thing that happens with entrepreneurship is that people go broke in the very first year of trying to build their business. So I want to know, have you ever had an experience with like struggling financially to start your business?
Yes, of course. I remember when we started and it was very painful because we had a few challenges along the way. And but the good thing about my approach was that I wasn't looking for the accolades. I was looking for the impact. So the goal was to start very small and grow gradually. And you know, this journey has shown me that when you're actually adding value to the people, the opportunities will come. And how did it come for us? So we were doing a lot of events. We were hosting boot camps. We're more focused on the audience, which we are still very focused on, which is the internationally trained talent. And interestingly, I saw that people were reaching out. People were reaching out on LinkedIn, on different platforms and saying, how can we support? What can I do to? Because they could relate with the pain that we're trying to solve. And like I said, the focus wasn't about, you know, the accolades. So we didn't start with a big website, you know, a huge platform. I remember that the first website, I built it myself. I watched a video on how to build a website. I watched videos on how to edit podcasts, which I still do right now. So everything was bootstrapping it from the get-go, which we are still doing. It's not as if we have a lot of money right now. But I remember the first partnership conversation that I went to, and my hands were, I had cold feet, sweaty palms. But interestingly, after pitching to them and telling them about, you know, the problem we're trying to solve, a couple of months later, they asked about, you know, attraction and all that. And they said, we want to partner with you. And that was where we got the capital to be able to now rebuild the website, get some other tools for the podcast and be able to, you know, now we are at the point where we're trying to hire a marketing person for a paid role. And we are also talking to we are currently in talks with some other organizations right now. So I would say the mistake that a lot of people do is they want to start big, start small and grow over time. And, you know, as long as you're committed to that vision, it's a matter of time. And you can easily iterate, because when you've invested a lot of money, it's hard for you to be able to say, you know what, I'm going on this path. I can't just pivot. But if you start very small and you test it, you can easily pivot, because there are so many platforms out there. There's Wix, there's Squarespace, there is WordPress. There are so many platforms that you can use to build, and you don't have to spend thousands of dollars. And so that's how the journey started.
Wow, great journey. And now you're growing and growing and growing. So have you been able to secure any funding or sponsors? How has it
Yes,
been
we
so far?
Have secured, right now, we have not made the announcement yet. We have secured another partnership. So yeah. Right now we have two partnerships that have been finalized and we are still talking to some others. When it comes to B2B, it's just that it takes a long time for it to be actualized. But yes, we currently have two partnerships right now.
Congratulations.
Partnership, yeah.
Congratulations. Once you get it, what is the goal? You expand your programming?
Yes. So we have a program coming up in the fall. It's going to be an internship program, because one of the challenges, one of the many challenges that internationally trained professionals have is actually getting their foot in the door. And according to a study done by RBC Economics, Canada lose up to $50 billion to underemployment of internationally trained professionals. So when people say that, oh, they get jobs, but they don't get jobs that are commensurate to their skill set. So the program we are launching in the fall is actually pairing participants of this program for a mentorship, for an internship at some of these top organizations. So once you have the experience on your resume and organizations can see that, okay, if this kind of organization can give this person a chance, then we should, you know, give this person a chance. And the conversation we are having with the organizations that we'll be piloting this with is that if you hire these people for internships, the possibility of converting it to a full-time opportunity. And that way, people can actually get jobs that are commensurate to their skill set. And when immigrants succeed, the country succeeds because they are able to provide a good life for their children, who goes on to see what is possible for their parents and be able to dream bigger. And when they dream bigger and they are able to start big businesses and launch products and also get good opportunities, they pay good taxes to the economy to add value to the country, and that way Canada also get value from it. So it's a win-win for everybody involved in the ecosystem. It's a win for the immigrant, it's a win for the employer, it's a win for the country of Canada.
I see why investors would love to work with you. So again, a lot of my audience is founders and entrepreneurs. So can you give us one piece of advice? If there was only one piece of advice you could give, one piece of advice to ensure that we don't go broke trying to become a founder.
I would say that test the idea with the minimum cost. If you can afford it, but be scrappy at the beginning. That's what I would say. Just test it and test that idea. Don't sit on that idea thinking that, you know what, it's impossible. I remembered when I started this journey, I was telling, I used to tell my team that if I knew that this is going to be as painful as this, I wouldn't have started it. Yeah. You know, there have been, even though we are just, interestingly, it will actually be 2 years next month. There have been betrayal, there's been hurt, there have been disappointment, there has been times when I doubted myself, but I would say just start and don't put a lot of money at the beginning. If you can, by all means do that. Yeah.
Good advice. And if anyone wanted to learn more about Fresh Start Hub, maybe utilize the services and programs that you have, how would they be able to?
They should check us out at www.thefreshstarthub.com.
Perfect. Thank you so much for being on the podcast.
You.
It's
Thank
an
you.
Honor. And everyone, make sure you listen to his podcast as well, because Fresh Start Hub podcast is great.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I really loved how David explained that he wouldn't have started if he knew the realities of entrepreneurship. And I think that is so real. Like, truly, all that glitters is not gold. It is not gold at all. It can be really hard. Like, of course, you see people traveling, you see them enjoying life, and they have a very flexible lifestyle, but also they're probably working more hours than they ever worked, working in 9 to 5. And it's a lot of hard work. So I love that he gave the reminder to all of us that you need to know what you're getting into before you get into it. Or maybe you don't need to know, because then you'll never take the leap and go into it. But we're just telling you that it is a big deal to be an entrepreneur. If you are an entrepreneur, I'm proud of you. But it is a big deal, so don't take that decision lightly. And also, I liked his advice about bootstrapping and being scrappy at the beginning of starting your business. So be scrappy. Do the work yourself, go as hard as possible, and then as you build, you can outsource to other people, similar to what Istiana told us. So a few weeks ago, I interviewed Tanisha on the podcast. You can listen to it. It's episode 13 or 14, I believe. And we learned more about crypto and NFTs. And in this next interview, we are going to see one of the real life use cases for NFTs. I interviewed Ade Tona, and he is the founder and CEO of 3Dots NFT. He was very honest with us, which I really appreciated. And he told us about his journey, not going broke or going broke, trying to become an entrepreneur. So let's hear from him.
Hi, Daytona. Hello, how are you?
Hi, Reni. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you. Thank you for being on the podcast. Today, I wanted to just know a little bit about you and then your journey and then how to not go broke trying to become a founder. So could you tell us a little bit about who you are and your business?
Yeah, my name is Aditono Omokaye. I'm the CEO and the founder of 3Dot NFT. As 3Dot, we create a ticketing platform that enables organizers, events creators, and event planners to, you know, digitize their ticket and be able to trade it as an NFT, which enables fans to be able to trade their tickets as well on the secondary market. But the unique thing about this idea is that we're able to create a royalty revenue. That revenue goes back to the event organizers, and that way they're able to be part of what happened in the secondary market. You know, we are in a world whereby scalpers are the one that dominates the ticket industry, and over $16 billion were already lost into ticketing in the secondary market as of this year. So that's basically what I do. And technology is still in the developmental stage, and we are hoping to launch our MVP by August this year.
Nice. And why NFTs? Like, why did you decide to start this company?
Oh, yeah. At first, by the way, I'm a photographer and also a visual artist. So I was thinking that, okay, NFT have so much more to offer other than just putting a digital art on OpenSea, Rarible, and the likes. So the blockchain technology itself, I think it's a unique development that gives people the opportunity to share royalty across board. And I feel if I can incorporate that into ticket industry, that will, you know, probably revolutionize the ticket industry entirely. And that's what actually inspired me. You know, at some point, I've paid almost $500 to go to, you know, Burna Boy's show before in secondary market. A ticket that was sold for just $100.
Yeah.
And I just feel that's too outrageous to pay for. And I don't know. Burna Boy is not part of that transaction.
No.
I was like, this will be kind of interesting if we can control that, you know, and that's what we are doing.
Very cool. And so I know you're in the new stages of your startup.
Yeah.
A lot of founders go broke trying to found their startup, especially in that first year.
Yeah.
So can you tell us, how's your journey been so far?
So to be honest, I'm still a broke founder.
Okay.
There has never been any investment till now.
Not yet.
You know, at this collision event, I've been able to pitch to a couple of people, and they're actually willing to partner with us.
Okay.
Someone even already signed up for an accelerator program that is coming up soon. So that's like, there's still hope. And because we believe in the business, they also believe in the business. But I'll not to go broke as a co-founder or a co-founder, man. To be honest, it's a difficult thing to be sincere. So I personally, I didn't just dive into business full time. I have a part-time business I do that makes sure that, you know, to be honest, as a co-founder, you should be able to take care of what you eat and where you sleep.
Yes.
Because if all of these two things are not into places, there's no way you can even think straight.
Mm-hmm.
So being able to solve that actually gave me so much confidence to put in effort into, you know, into founding this particular business I'm actually running with.
So if there's one piece of advice, even though you consider yourself a broke founder, if there's one piece of advice that you could give our listeners to make sure they don't go broke trying to be an entrepreneur, maybe a mistake that you've made, anything, what would that piece of advice be?
I believe that in, you know, if you strongly believe in what you do and you're passionate about it and you're dedicated to it, I think there's this special force that will push you. And then, trust me, you won't even know how this money comes in, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not trying to sugarcoat this, but I know that it works. At some point, I was actually depressed because I was so passionate and I put in so much effort. I lost so much money in building this platform. You know, I have a good wife right beside me. So she always encouraged me to keep going. And then she always reminded me, why are you doing what you are doing? I think that is the most important question you should ask yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are able to answer that question well, trust me, you will scale and you will succeed.
Perfect. Thank you so much. You want to know your why? We always want to know our why behind what we're doing. Have a good partner maybe as well to help you keep going. Thank you so much for being on the podcast. And if someone wants to learn more about your business, how can they do that?
We are currently on all social media platforms. We're on 3.NFT on Instagram, 3.NFT on LinkedIn. Our website is www.3.NFT.com.
Perfect. Thank you so much for being on the podcast. One of my key takeaways from this interview was that even if you are currently a broke founder, there are ways for you to position yourself strategically to get out of this brokenness. So he told us that he's still broke. He's struggling right now, or not struggling, but like he is not in a place where he's financially free because of his business. Thankfully, he has other side gigs and hustles that he's working on, but he's just saying that he's broke from this right now because he doesn't have any investments in it. But then he strategically positioned himself and came to Collision Conference to pitch his business to others and even signed up for an accelerator program while he was here. So I thought that was very cool and something to encourage people who maybe you are currently a founder, currently broke, but there are still ways for you to level up and take your business to the next level. So strategically position yourself in places where you can meet other like-minded people, you can meet venture capitalists, you can meet people who can invest in you and take your business to the next level. The last interview that we have today is Toju, and Toju is a relatively new founder. He has his business Godzilla, and it's just over 1.5 years old. So let's hear from him. Hi, Toju.
Hello, Renny. Nice to connect with you on here, and it's great to be here.
Thank you so much for being on the podcast. So can you tell us a little bit about who you are and your business?
So Toju, founder of Godzilla. Godzilla is a platform that fundraises using products. So we have 3 product offerings. We started out with a secondhand marketplace where individuals could list products and support organizations they care about. And to that, we added an online donation plugin API for Shopify stores. So now Shopify stores, we help them power the give back process to different charities. We have over 86,000 charities. We partner with Canada Helps. And then we have an auction platform for charities as well. So charities can run auctions. We manage the auction process end-to-end for them. So think of us like the good guys, you know, trying to facilitate using products to fundraise.
Nice. Congratulations. And when did you start this business?
I think right now we've been operating for 1.5 years. We registered at Godzilla November 2019, just prior to the pandemic. And we through that process, we built out our prototype, did beta testing. But now we're, you know, customer acquisition at this point.
So a big thing that we see with entrepreneurs is that the first year is very rough. A lot of entrepreneurs don't even make it past the first year. So I want to know, is there any time that you almost went broke during this, the first year of operations?
It's not just the first year. I think the first 5 years is usually tough, right? So at the end of the day, we're constantly, I think as an entrepreneur, you have to bootstrap. Even when you're talking to VCs, you just can't come up with a concept. Sometimes it happens, but you just kind of have to prove that there's a market for this and there's a business for this. So you kind of use your own like funding or family and friends to get it off the ground. But most times I've learned that you can leverage grants. You can leverage a lot of subsidy stuff to hire interns. Like the Canadian ecosystem has provided a lot of like foundations for founders to leverage so that you don't have to kind of go broke doing, you know, trying to start a business.
Nice. And what are some of the greatest lessons you have learned during these 1.5 years of being a founder? And what can you share with our audience from your mistakes and any lessons you've learned?
I would say the most important thing is like you just can't do it by yourself. If you can find a co-founder, you know, find someone who can assist you, find what areas are you, where are your weaknesses, and find someone who can, like, you know, support that. And also leverage grants and leverage subsidies as much as you can. That's kind of what I'll like.
Nice. So this is Don't Go Broke Trying. So can you give us one piece of advice to make sure that our followers don't go broke trying to become a founder?
You know, basically, when you're bootstrapping, leverage family and friends that can help you. Also look for grants and look for subsidy programs that the government offer. Hire a lot of interns using these programs. They can help you do a lot for less. I think those are one of the ways that you can get ahead fast. And also leverage freelance. There are places like Fiverr, Upworks, where you can get developers offshore for cheap. So those things are things that you can use so you don't go broke.
Thank you so much for being on the podcast. I appreciate you.
Thanks for your time.
So I hope this episode was helpful for you. I hope it was insightful. I hope you learned a thing or two. You can follow all of the founders in, and I'll put their links in my description box. You can follow them, learn more about them, connect with them on LinkedIn. But I just wanted to say that I feel like this is a little mini episode of how I built this. If you listen to that podcast, one of my favorite podcasts of all time. So I feel like I'm really doing the damn thing, you know? If you like this episode, feel free to share it on your story on Instagram. You can share it on Twitter using the hashtag DGBTpod. You can tag us on whatever platform. You can comment on the YouTube video. I just love hearing your feedback and seeing what you liked and what you didn't like. If you want me to interview more founders, I can. Let me know who you want me to interview. I just have a lot of ideas, but you know, the validation from all of you is very helpful. So I hope you learned a thing or two from this episode. As I said, I will see you in the next one, and I hope you have a great day, everyone. Bye. Thank you so much for listening. I hope that you enjoyed and learned something new that will help you not go broke. If you like listening to this podcast, make sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, YouTube, or wherever you're listening, and leave us a review. You should also share the love. We don't believe in hoarding knowledge over here, so if you learned something, take a screenshot and share this podcast on your Instagram story, tagging at Don't Go Broke Trying and at XLRennie. I would love to reshare. You can use the hashtag DGBTpod on Twitter to continue the conversation. And if you have a dilemma or a question about money that you would like answered, please email us at dgbt@rennietheresource.com. This episode was brought to you by Lemonade Finance. Use my code XORENNIE for 10% cash back. This episode was produced by Pascal Adeshina with music by Wonder Girl.